I appreciate missions. I appreciate Brother Angel. I was sitting thinking there on the pew, boy, I'm glad my heart got a hold of some Bible doctrines. I'm glad when I seen that once I was saved, I was saved. I'm glad that I seen that there was a great God who was never going to leave me nor forsake me. I'm thankful for the doctrine once I seen that the Lord's going to come back and get me before we're not appointed to wrath but unto salvation. But may I say this, I'm thankful just as much as any of those for the day God got a hold of my heart about missions. I'm thankful that the Lord showed it through this Bible that it was not a man's doctrine or a man's mandate, but it was straight commandment from the Word of God to reach the lost of this dying world. I was thinking tonight as we was praying, oh, what it would do if our spiritual eyes could get a glimpse of hell and hear the screams of hell tonight. See those that are perishing in hell while we're sitting here comfortable and absolutely doing nothing. Amen. Absolutely. You say, well, we've sent this out. We've sent that out. I told my church last night, I said, if we truly believed the Lord was coming back as soon as we say He was, we'd have called somebody today and said, listen, man, let me tell you about a man called Jesus. He's coming soon, and if you don't turn to Him, you're going to die in your sins and go to hell. And well, I believe that, Brother Gary. I believe that we'd have more of a burden for lost souls than we ever had, Brother Tim, if we truly believed that the Lord was coming back soon. Amen. But I appreciate missions. I appreciate those that'll go. There's missionaries that leave this part of the world and go and live in grass huts, that go and live in places where they're not wanted, where they're not wanting to be heard, where there's no familiarity, there's no family to back up on, there's no preachers to call just around the corner, and they sacrifice everything, and not just the preacher, his wife and his children sacrifice everything they know to tell about a gospel that we know, not because of what somebody else says, but first-hand account that will save to the uttermost. Amen? We're living proof that this gospel works in this lost and dying world. Hey, I was headed for hell, a hell-bound sinner that was worth nothing and is worth nothing, but the good God of heaven come by my way one day when I did not merit His coming and I did not want His coming. He come by anyhow, not out of obligation, but because of mercy and because of grace, and said, son, if you'll just come to me, you can be saved and things will be different. Amen. I was thinking about as they're singing this song, I had some folks call me the other day and they've lived up and their life's been a mess and they've got right with God, trying to live with God, and they said, can God use us? And I said, man, I said, you go over to John chapter number 4, there's a woman that's been married 5 times living with a man that she wasn't married with now. But I said, when she went into that city crying, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. They come out, if you read towards the end of that chapter, the Bible says many believe because of Jesus, but there's many believe because of her words and because what she did, the change that took place in her life. So we're living proof that this gospel will work in Colorado. Amen? We're living proof it'll work in Colorado. Matthew chapter number 3 tonight in your Bible. I promise you, I'll try not to preach long. I promise you that. Amen? I want to go home and talk to my wife also. And call them, make sure they're all right, amen. But Matthew chapter number 3, now as we read this evening, you're probably going to say, what's this scripture got to do with missions? I was looking and studying and praying the other day. I was reading a book that we got through Bible college called Heartbeats of the Holy. And it had a chapter in there that brought me to this scripture. And as I began to read it, the Lord just kind of put this on my heart. And I've been meditating on it, and so I hope to be a blessing to you. Now, it's going to take us a little bit to get to where we're going, so you just hang with us, all right? Let's all stand as we read the Word of God, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized to him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his right hand, or in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Let's stop right there and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, thank you for this Bible. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the commandments you've given us. Lord, we know they're right. Whether we follow them or not, we know they're right because this is not man's word and it's not man's book, but it is the very word of God. I pray tonight that you would help us, oh God, to convey the thought that you've put upon my heart. I pray tonight as, Lord, I realize the very best I can do is speak to the ear of this people. And so I realize that, Lord, I need you to go far beyond the ear and far beyond what human tones can ring. And God, speak to the hearts of your people. Lord, would you tonight revive us again in this area of missions? Would you give us more of a zeal and more of a burden for the lost men and women dying and going to hell? For Lord, as we read through this Bible and we realize that the very reason Calvary took place, the very reason the Lamb of God was spit upon and beat and crucified and laid in a bald tomb and got up on the third day is for lost men, women, boys and girls that they could be saved. Father, I pray tonight that you'd bind the powers of hell which would try to hinder. Lord, I thank you for what I can feel tonight. But Lord, I also realize the devil's trying his best, oh, to get in the hearts of this people and trying to disrupt, God, the message and trying to disrupt the air. And Father, trying to disrupt the atmosphere. And I pray tonight, Lord, you're powerful than him. God, you're stronger than him, and he has to bow at you. I pray tonight you would bind him up. Father, I pray tonight you'd help us to get a little bit closer. Lord, you'd help us tonight to realize the great importance to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. And Father, everything that's said and done, would you help us to bow our unworthy heads and to praise you and thank you for all that you do for us. God, for being good to us, would you help us to do that tonight? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. As we look in the Bible, in the book of Matthew chapter number 3, obviously we're preaching about and we're looking at a very familiar character out of our Bible. We're studying and we're looking tonight at John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was, in my book, a great man. He was a man that had some backbone. He had some courage. I believe though he did it in the right spirit, I believe it did it in the right way. He was a humble man. As we read in our scripture, he said, there's one coming after me that's a lot mightier than I am, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unloose. He was a humble man. Amen. And we look through John's life, I can see some similarities between John and between us. Now, if we look just real quick as introduction, and I'm trying to get to a certain point tonight, as we look real quick, introduction in the book of my friend of Luke, chapter number 1, We find where John had a very peculiar birth. If you'll read over there and you'll study over there, you'll find where his mother, who was in the Aaron lineage, his mother Elizabeth was a barren woman. She could have no children. You find, my friend, where the angel comes and he begins to speak to his father Zacharias. He says, "You're going to have a son. His name's going to be John." And the answer, the reply back to the angel was, "How can this be that I'm so old?" And so if we look at that and we think about that, John had a very peculiar birth. It was not a normal birth. I know it happened through normal circumstances, but it happened in a very old age. May I say, my friend, that you and I tonight have a very peculiar birth. One this world does not understand. One this world does not comprehend. They cannot get over the fact that we was once a black sinner, washed in red blood, made white as snow, heirs and joint heirs with God Jehovah, amen. Hey, listen, I must dwell in this flesh here, but one day I'm going to put on a body like and unto the Son of God, amen. And why? Because one day, because of a bloody salvation, a bloody Savior who shed His blood for me, it's a very peculiar birth, amen. We've got a peculiar birth. When Brother Angel gets out there to Colorado, you know what he's going to be preaching them people? About a peculiar birth. Amen. As they said, as Nicodemus said, "How can a man enter, does he enter twice into his mother's womb?" And the Lord said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit." Amen. It's a peculiar birth. And if you're saved tonight, you have that peculiar birth. And I have that peculiar birth. It's different than the world. Hallelujah. Amen. It's different than the world system. It's different than Scientology that's puked up out of hell. Amen. It's different than all these other things. It's peculiar because, listen, we didn't have to do nothing for our Savior. Our Savior did everything for us. Amen. We didn't have to die for Him. We didn't have to bleed for Him. We didn't have to be crucified for Him. I'm not having to kill an infidel for Him. He died by the hands of an infidel and shed His blood just for me. Amen. It's a very peculiar birth. Hang with me. I'm going somewhere. Amen. And not only does He have a very peculiar birth, but if we look at John, he was very unpopular with his brethren. As we see now, John the Baptist is out here preaching. He's come out of the wilderness. He's preaching. No doubt he looks like a man. He's different than what they've ever seen. He's not dressed like the scribes and Pharisees. He's not like a white-walled sepulcher. The outside looks rough. Oh, thank God. The outside looks rough, but the inside's all right. Amen. Hey, can I tell you, our outside may look rough, but the inside's all right. Amen. But he's out here preaching. He's in camel's hair. He's eating locusts and wild honey. No doubt there's some, Brother Tim, that said, "Who is this madman? Who is this crazy fella that's just popped up out of the wilderness? Who is this guy?" Hey, he was very unpopular. Can you imagine today? Brother Teddy said, an ordinary Baptist, in an ordinary Baptist church, if we was to preach what John the Baptist preached, we'd be run off every week. Can I say this tonight as just a side note? I'm not going to chase a rabbit. I know some people don't like chasing the rabbits. But as a side note, I'll rename that. Can I say this? Most of us couldn't handle the Lord Jesus behind the pulpit. Amen. He would absolutely skin us up one side and down the other. And most of us would walk out the back door mad at Him for doing it. You might as well nod and say amen. I've not been in this thing long, but I've been in it long enough to know you preach some of these hard sayings like the Lord did, and it's time for a new preacher. Amen. It's time to get rid. He's been here too long. Amen. That's just a side note. I ain't chasing that rabbit. That rabbit's done run. But he's unpopular with his brethren. He's preaching, my friend, a message that is unpopular. Now, if you look at John, there's been 400 years of silence between the end of the Old Testament, the beginning of the New Testament. And all of a sudden, the silence is broke. And the first words that are heard is, "Repent ye!" Hey, all them lambs you've been killing,
All this stuff you've been wearing, all the good, as Brother Angel said on that card, might as well get rid of that and repent.
Amen.
Amen. And it made him unpopular with the brethren. Now listen to what I'm about to say. Hey man, if you take this King James Bible and you stand on it strong and you believe the Bible doctrines and you preach the Bible doctrines and you preach the standards out of this Bible, or if you today, you may not be a preacher, if you live the standards of this Bible, you'll be unpopular to this Word. Amen. You'll be unpopular to this world, and you'll even be unpopular. I'm going to tell you something. There's some churches would not let me preach in there. I would go, but they wouldn't like it. Amen? There's some places that call the John, there's some places that call themselves a church and call themselves a brethren that don't know a thing about the doctrines of God. Amen. And when you stand on it, you know what you are? Andy, you're an old fuddy-duddy. Amen. Don't want him. He's got standards. He's a legalist. And they don't even know what that word legalist really means. Amen. Legalism is not a preaching a standard. Legalism is saying that if you want to be saved, then you have to add this to salvation and that to salvation. But do you know why that happens? Do you know why they call us that, Brother Brian? Because we've got a message, my friend, that's unpopular. Why? Because it gets in the middle of their cornrow and it messes up their day the same as it did my day one day, Brother John. Hey, listen, I didn't believe all I used to believe when I first got saved. But through the years, God began to deal with my heart and began to show me things. And listen, I had to live a different life. Now, we sing that song, It's Different Now, but for a lot, it's not. Amen. For a lot, it's not. I'm going to tell you something. There's some things in our life that would make God sick. Amen. Can you prove that? The Church of Laodicea. You know what that church of Laodicea, you know what that word Laodicea means? It means civil rights or rights of the people. We're living in that day. And do you know what the Bible says? God said you're neither cold nor you're hot. And because of that, because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And when we preach that belief, we're unpopular with the brethren. Amen. We're unpopular. You can't build a church. Preacher, you can't build a church on straight preaching anymore. Hogwash.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Brother Angel, when you go preach as straight as you can, love them people, you can build a church. Listen, I'm not interested in just a name. I want a church, amen. Not a building, this thing's going to burn up. But somebody on the inside that knows something about God and loves God and serves God. And my friend, don't care what the world thinks. They just want to please God, as you're talking about. He was unpopular. Listen, I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. We're going to get to the missions part of this in a minute. He had a peculiar birth. He is unpopular with the brethren. But may I say this? He had a powerful message. If you look back over Luke chapter number 1, verse 13, the Bible says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness. And now listen, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Why? For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." Tell me there ain't standards in this Bible. "And he shall be filled the Holy Ghost." Amen. "Even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Do you know how he's going to do all that? By a powerful message. Amen. Not just by what he's wanting to say. He's not getting it off the internet. Say amen right there. He's not searching what Dr. Doolittle said about it. He's getting in. He's getting something from God. He's in preaching 101 in the wilderness. He's getting in tune with God. And he's coming with a message that Brother Gary, some's going to reject, but there's going to be some that's going to flock to it and run to it and accept it. And the lives is going to be changed. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. The Apostle Paul was a great missionary. In fact, the Apostle Paul's ministry is still alive today. Amen. How you say that? Because he turned and went to the Gentiles one time. And he had such a powerful message and such a peculiar message. Brother Andy, now the Gentile, listen, here's a Jew going to an old dog and telling them about another Jew who died on a cross at their own hands. Yet he died on that cross at their own hands for them. Amen. And they began to accept, and it began to run down the lines. And Brother Tim, I've said this often, and I prayed this often, thank God for grandparents that brought my parents to the house of God. And they brought me under preaching. Amen. Took a long time, but thank God one day God the Holy Ghost got a hold of my heart. And it was a powerful message that showed me, hey, listen, Brother Andy, I was raised right here in this place. I was raised under preaching. I didn't have not one problem of saying that there was a God and Jesus died for me. But one glorious day, when God came by my way, it became more than just words. He convinced me that Jesus died for me. He convinced me this Bible was right. He convinced me there was a heaven and there was a hell. And without the blood of Jesus, that's where I was going. Amen. I've said this often, my friend. There's a lot of things I don't understand. I've heard people say they'd love to go to Israel to see the empty tomb where the Lord laid. I'd love to walk the Holy Land. I'd love to go to Israel. But I don't have to go to see no empty tomb. They could have borrowed a tomb somewhere and put a plaque up. Hey, I know He lives because He's alive in my heart. Amen. He convinced me of that day. It was a powerful message and can take us from darkness unto light. It's a powerful message. It can take a drunk and take the bottle out of his hand and put a Bible in. Amen. It's a powerful message. It can take somebody off the street who hated God, didn't want nothing to do with God, and all of a sudden, God, the Holy Ghost, get a hold of their heart and they get their nose in this book. Had God call them to preach, or God get them to teach in a Sunday school teacher, or God, my friend, make them a deacon. Hey, I'm telling you, it's a powerful message that we have today. Amen. It's a powerful one. Can I say this? When Brother Angel gets to Colorado, that message will not lose no power and it will not go out void. Amen. Last Sunday morning, I preached on standing somewhere in the midst. And I preached on that woman taken in adultery and preached on the three pictures you see there. You see a picture of a sinner. And that sinner's caught in the very act of sin. She's bold in that sin. They caught her in that very act of sin. You see a schoolmaster, which is a picture of the law and the Pharisees and scribes. They're bringing her out and they're saying that woman deserves to die. And they was exactly right in what they were saying. But thank God, standing somewhere in the midst, there was a Savior that said, yeah, she deserves to die, but I'll die for her. I'll go to Calvary for her. That same gospel. Hey, man, I preached that gospel Sunday morning. I noticed Sunday night. There was a young boy there. When he walked in the church, he looked bothered. I really felt like the Lord was dealing with somebody Sunday morning, but nobody moved. Sunday night, he walked in, and I seen him poke on his mom and dad's coattails. And you know what he said, Brother Tim? He said, I don't feel good. I need to go home. And like good Baptists, they took him home. About 11 o'clock at night, my phone rang and it scared me. thought something might be wrong, especially when I seen the name and I picked it up and I answered, and it was a lady out of the church. She said, "Preacher," she said, "this is Miss Nissy." She said, "Charlie would like to tell you something." And she handed the phone to this little 11-year-old boy, and Sniffles I could hear on the other end of the phone. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I just got saved." I said, "Let me ask you something, Charlie." I said, "Was God dealing with you this morning?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Did you get it settled, son?" "Yeah." I said, "Do you have peace in your heart and feel better now?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you want to tell the church on Wednesday night?" He said, "Yeah." And that's all he could say. Amen. That's all he could say. Hey, we left church that morning thinking God hadn't done nothing. But I want to tell you, it's such a powerful message. I believe the God of glory went home with that young boy and began to deal with that young boy in lunch and through the day and at night and saved him. Amen. It's a powerful message. It's a powerful message. So you say, "Preacher, how's all this tying with missions?" Well, we, my friend, we have a lot of similarities with John. We've got a peculiar birth. We'll be very unpopular with the brother. I want to tell you where Brother Angel's going to go. He's going to be unpopular. Amen. But we have the same powerful message. But there's something in this Scripture stuck out to me, and I'm not going to preach too much longer. There's something in this Scripture. I've went over my 10-minute time limit, told Brother Tim, but I've still got a half a minute. Amen. There's something in this Scripture stuck out to me. Notice with me verse number 3. The Bible says, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying," notice these two words, "the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." That one little word in that Scripture stuck out to me, voice. Brother Andy, I began to think as I looked at this Scripture, we've got this same peculiar birth. We're just as unpopular with the brethren, and we've got that same powerful message. But do we have a voice? I told you I got this little book which led me to this Scripture and this thought. And in that book, it vaguely just mentioned this Scripture, just run across it, and here's what it said. It said, "In most Baptist churches, a visitor can come in and say, 'Who preaches here?' And said, somebody in the congregation may say, 'Most anybody preaches here, but so-and-so's the pastor.' But he said this, Brother Ronnie," he said, "wouldn't it be good if somebody come in and said, 'Who preaches here?' And the people said, 'Brother Tim is the pastor, but God does the preaching.'" Amen. God does the preaching. Now, Brother Teddy, can I use you for an example a second? Will you come up here with me for just a moment? Brother Gary, would you agree with me that we have a mandate to reach the world with the gospel? Would you agree with that, church? We have a mandate. Well, I've got me and my four, in Brother Angel's case, me and my how many ever say, that's all I need to do. But we have a mandate to go into all Jerusalem and all Judea and all Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world, right? We have a mandate to preach and teach, Brother Max, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many of us in here tonight are pastors, and my calling is to Pinnacle Baptist Church. Now, wait a minute. Stay with me here. Stay with me. My calling is to Pinnacle Baptist Church. Brother Tim, I don't feel led to go to Colorado. Now, I do believe that the Coloradians need to be saved. Amen. Now, I can do one or two things. Hang with me. I can sit back on my pew. Just stay right there, Brother Angel. You look good standing there. I can sit back on my pew and say, they need to be saved in Colorado, and it never get past that. You know what that is? That's an echo. I believe they need to be saved, Brother Tim. I do. And I can say they need to be saved and never do nothing with it. The same as you right here. And I'm just using him because he's a missionary here tonight. But you could sit here and say they need to be saved in Colorado. I believe Colorado needs to be saved. And never do nothing about it. Just keep echoing it. Or, through missions, you can take your money and put it in that plate and take that money and send it to this man's mission board with his name on the memo line and say, Brother Angel, I cannot go. But we have that same peculiar birth. We know we're going to be unpopular with the brethren, but we have a powerful message. I cannot go, even though I believe they need to be saved. So I want you to be my voice to go to Colorado. I'm going to send you there to be my voice to preach to a lost and dying world. I was thinking about this the other day. I've been to Texas with you twice. Some of you wished I hadn't went the first time. But I've been to Texas with you twice. And both times my church has graciously gave for me to go. There's not a person from Pinnacle Baptist Church besides me who went. Not a person besides me. But do you know every person in Pinnacle Baptist Church who gave for me to go had a voice that went? They had a voice that was going to preach a powerful message. Amen. Amen. Even though they never stepped foot in the hot deserts of West Texas or in the hot lowlands of South Texas, they had a voice that was able to go. Bethelboro Baptist Church was the same way. Not a one of them went. But they had a voice. Amen. They had the Bible says, Isaiah prophesied and said the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Not an echo, a voice. They had a voice to go. Here's what this got to do with missions. You're going to have another missionary tomorrow night. Brother Tim told me the other night what Easter Lark had done this past year in missions. And boy, it thrilled my heart because as a little boy, I never knew nothing about missions. And it thrilled my heart to hear what you've done last year, Brother Tim. Just be honest with you, in missions. It thrilled my heart to see you go on mission trip. That thrilled my heart. Amen. Do you know what happened? Many years ago, the sentiment was still the same. This world needed to be lost, or needed to be saved. But there was no voice to go with it. There was just an echo. But now, everywhere there's a little pin back there on that map, there's a voice down there in Bolivia through Brother Steve Fannin. There's a voice down there in Fort Stockton through Brother Scott Owens. There's a voice up there in Maine through that brother's name up there. You have a voice that's crying in the wilderness even though you're not there. Now hang with me a second. Let me give you an imaginative illustration. The rapture takes place. Brother Tim, you've been to this church 5 years now. Is that right? In spring, 5 years. Brandy's been here however long he's been with Trina. 20? How many? Way too long. 22 years. Brother Andy's come to this church for 22 years. The rapture takes place. Now hang with me. Let me give you this illustration. I'm just about done. We stand before the Lord. The Lord calls up Tim Reeves. He says, Tim, he starts naming off a list. Not sin, but we're going to be judged according to the deeds done this body, whether they be good or evil. He starts calling off deeds. And the only thing Tim could do is hang his head and tears stream down his face because they've been displeasing to the Lord. But right towards the end, the Lord says, but Tim, he said, you've got about 350 souls over here that's added towards your account. Paul said, I desire fruit, not that it be to my account, but that it be towards your account. You've got about, and I'm just going to throw some numbers out here. You've got about 350 souls over here that's added to your account. And Tim perks up. His judgment's done. The Lord now calls Andy Turbyfield. And he comes and stands before the Lord. They both went to the same church, one for a whole lot longer. One for a whole lot longer. Andy's went to the jailhouse ministries, went on every mission trip they've been on. And the Lord begins to read off a list. And Andy sits with tears streaming down his face because of the deeds. It was unpleasing to the Lord. But then the Lord says, but Andy. And Andy maybe just heard. Now, I don't know, just bear with me. If you don't believe it this way, that's fine. I'm just making an imaginative illustration, okay?
Andy maybe just heard the Lord say, Tim, you got 350 souls. And Andy may say, yes, something's going to be right. And the Lord says, Andy, you've got 5 souls that's added to your count. Now, I don't believe we're going to question the Lord, but Andy goes, wait a minute, Lord. How can I have 5? I was in this church longer. I've been here as long or longer as this other fellow does. He's got 350 and I've got 5. And the Lord looks at Andy and says, here's the difference. He had a voice. You had an echo. You said they needed to be saved, but you never done nothing about it. He said they needed to be saved. But every time that missions plate was drawn by, he had put what God put on his heart to put in that mission plate. And he had a voice. Same church, same amount of missionaries, but one had a voice and one didn't. My friend, let me say this today. We live in a time where everybody that can is crying. They're crying against every sort of movement. Every time you turn around, there's somebody offended. There's all sorts of voices out there, but the one lacking is the gospel voice from God's people. Now, we don't feel called to go to Colorado, but right there sits a man who does. And we can say, you know what? We can't go, but we want to be more than an echo. We want to have a voice to go out there to Colorado for us. We want to have somebody that will be our voice when I cannot go. Here's my question to you tonight. As I'm done, here's my question. It's easy to echo. Easy to echo. Brother Tim, I found it real easy to say I'm going to start praying more and studying more. I found it real easy to say, boy, people here or people there need to be saved. But I found it a struggle against this flesh to put a voice there. Amen. Because this flesh don't like it. But God wants a voice. Have you ever heard this analogy? We are the Lord's hands. We are the Lord's feet. He's already back in heaven. He has His voice. Amen. And it's through this Word. Amen. But we've got to help the feet to get it there. Brother Tim, there's people all along this country. Now, I'm not talking about other countries right now, but they need to have a voice too. There's people all along this country who has never even heard of Jesus and what He done for them. And I find it a shame that we sit in churches 3 times a week or how often we go. I hope it's 3 times a week. And drive our nice cars and live our comfortable life, and people dying and going to hell because we didn't give them a voice. Folks, we better in these last days be a voice and not just an echo. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You for this Bible. Lord, I know this is a simple message. I know, Lord, I've done a horrible job delivering it, but God, it ain't my power anyhow. It's in Yours. And so I pray, Lord, that You would speak to the hearts of Your people. God, help us to be a voice, not just an echo, but that we would be a voice to this lost and dying world. God, would You do something here mighty and magnificent in Jesus' name. Amen. Bertie.